Hello again. On this video, I will go through the structure of the proposal. The proposal consists of two parts, part A and part B. The part A, administrative forms, is actually within the portal, so you need to fill a forms online. And I have prepared for you a separate video where I show in the portal how you actually fill in the administrative form. So please go to see that video. And the part B consists of two parts, part B1 and part B2. And now I will go through in detail all the headings and subheadings that are required. I have to say at this point that this Marie Curie proposal is what I would say very technical proposal in that sense that it has very strict formats and you are expected to sell in each subheading the specific matters. So please follow the template very closely. Before we go to the structure, I'll show you something general about this. So, award criteria and how it is structured. So, in B1 forms, there are three different sections. There's excellence, impact, and implementation. In the B2 part, there's your CV and organizational information and ethical issues. And when we look at the criteria, the excellence part here gives you 50% of the points, and the impact 30%, and quality and efficiency of implementation. This is your research training, this is the project management and structure. And you, of course, excellent science matters the most. But because this is highly competitive funding, you also need to have your impact described properly, and you need to have detailed implementation plan. In practice, I would say this means that if you get positive funding decision, the next day you get the funding, you can start to implement your proposal. This is the level of detail you are expected to have in your proposal. Before we move on, I will remind you shortly about the core terminology. And please follow funders' terminology. It makes reviewers' work much easier. So first of all, there's beneficiary. That is us, University of Jyväskylä, your host organization. Then there's you, the experienced researcher or postdoctoral researcher. Then in this call, there is not really principal investigator. They don't use this terminology. Instead, there is supervisor. Supervisor is University of Jyväskylä's representative in this project. And then there is secondment. I already briefly discussed this. It is planned research period in partner organization. And then again, partner organization hosts secondments. And partner organization is an organization who doesn't get funding and who doesn't employ researcher in this Marie Curie actions. Then remember that there are member states, associated country, and third country. And this terminology is used throughout, for example, the guidelines when you're reading the guidelines, how to fill in the proposal. Coordinator is same as your host organization. If you need to name coordinator, it is University of Jyväskylä. Then shortly about the organization's role. Host organization or the beneficiary locates within the European Union or in the associate country. And in our case, we are academic sector. We appoint a supervisor or namely so, but that is your supervisor you have agreed to make this proposal with. So someone who is employed by University of Jyväskylä at the moment and is senior researcher. Then the partner organization hosts your secondment, doesn't sign the grant agreement. It can be institution in the same country as the beneficiary, but it can also be in the other country. It can be same sector, it can be academic, but it can be also non-academic. So the role of the partner organization in this call is very flexible. As I already mentioned, please check my other video on how to fill in A-forms. A-forms include general information about your proposal, data of the participants, budget, ethical issues, and some call-specific questions. And because we are one of those universities who have a privilege to have a faculty of sports and health, here is some picture about their activities. And we move on to part B1, that includes excellence, impact, and implementation. When we look at the general information on the B1 part, it can be maximum one page. If you're reapplying, a few years ago there used to be cover page. Now that has been removed. So start straight from the excellence. You can have title or not to have title, but you have 10 pages, no more. If there are extra pages, they will be removed. And when you're submitting your proposal, it should be in PDF form and no more than 10 megabytes. And you can't submit your proposal unless you have your B1 and B2 parts first uploaded to the system. The minimum font size is 11. And the minimum marginal is 1.5 centimeters. And literature references should be included in the footnotes. And the font size for the footnotes can be 8 or 9. And please note that scientific misconduct is taken very seriously. Then we move on to the exact structure of the proposal, and I will go heading by heading this through. And please follow exactly the format given here or given in the guidelines. So first title would be excellence, then it has subtitle 1.1, quality and credibility, and so on. Please leave this title to your proposal, but then funder has given these instructions. What you have in this section. This you can delete when you have your final version. And now I will go through this so that first I have copy-pasted here from the proposal template what the funder says, and then I have some guiding questions and some more instructions to you what to write in each section. In this first 1.1 section, you are expected to have, subheadings of subheading, state of the art, objectives, and overview of the actions. These are the expected parts to be found here. And it is very important to discuss your interdisciplinary aspects. This is cross-cutting principle for the call. You should also mention the gender dimension. And here are some guiding questions for the 1.1 section. So first of all, consider if your research problem is well formulated. Why is it interesting scientific challenge, and is it important for the future research? And please try to answer these questions when you're writing your state of the art. Then when you're writing your objectives, keep reader your overall objective and specific objectives or aims. And then please number them and be ready to refer to each of the objectives when you are structuring and writing the proposal implementations section. You need to be sufficiently detailed to convince the evaluators. So, for example, never say that I will plan this or this then when I get this funding. But tell here what your plan is, what you are about to do, and give sub-objectives and enough details. That is the way to convince. And here are some good advices on how to make good objectives. And first of all, consider why it is important and why it's a good idea to finance you. Because these are the answers they are looking, these are the questions they are looking answers for. And if you keep the answers ready, it is easier for evaluators to fund your proposal. There is an old rule called SMART for creating good objectives. So a good objective is specific, measurable, assignable, realistic, and time-related. You can also think your objectives through these questions. Is my objective clear? Can I measure it? And is it realistic and achievable? I hope these help you when you're designing your objectives. Then we move on to section 1.2, quality and appropriateness of training. And it is very important to note that this call is not just a research plan, but it also needs to be detailed and credible training plan. You need to explain in detail how this will advance your career and what kind of training you will get during your fellowship. An important aspect on this is also two-way transfer of knowledge. So what kind of skills and knowledge you get by coming to University of Jyväskylä and what University of Jyväskylä gets when it is acting as your host. And these are again funders instructions, and then I have some further points of view. So describe your training. The main point is training through research, but in addition to that, describe who besides your supervisor will help you at the host department, who you can discuss with, what kind of seminars you have, what kind of courses you will take during the fellowship. And I have provided you a link where you can see, for example, the transferable or horizontal skills training we offer at University of Jyväskylä. This is a constantly updated list, so please go and see. Also think about the role of the secondments in your training. Do you, for example, need some methodological skills you can go to have in some other organizations? Then here are some ideas what could the transfer of knowledge be. From your perspective, it can be, for example, skills, competencies, networks. And remember also, specify the objectives of your training. For example, I will need to go to this communication skills course because I need it to communicate the results of my project. And what could knowledge transfer mean for host organization? It can also mean networks, contacts, new methods that hasn't been used here before, knowledge experience. On the previous video, I already mentioned the segment. Now, I would like to remind you that if you design segments, they should have clear impact on your project. They are planned before, and how to convince evaluator that it is planned, I would say that it is that you should name where you are going. And my advice is that you call or you send preferably email so that you have something written to assure that you have contacted them, and you design your segments, for example, to a company. Of course, changes might happen, and even your place of your segment might happen, and therefore you don't need any commitment letters for your segments. But anyway, make your best to plan it. And then if changes happen, they will happen. The purpose of the segment is to provide intersectoral transfer of knowledge and training. That's why I'm mentioning the companies. It is fairly often used for this purpose. Other academic organizations is also possible. Then, in addition to segments, you can have short visits and consider which are more appropriate for your proposal. about the duration of the second MENS? When your fellowship is 18 months or less, you're going to have maximum 3 months of second MENS. When your fellowship is more than 18 months, which is usually the case, the usual duration of fellowship is 24 months. Then you can maximum 6 months of secondments. So don't plan more than 6 months of secondments. You can have it in several periods if you need to. Then we move on to section 1.3, quality of the supervision and the integration to the theme and institution. And here it is expected to describe your supervisor, his position, his or her international collaboration, total number of publications, age indexes, and very importantly, their previous students and their current positions. How many PhD students they have supervised, or what kind of PhDs they have supervised, and if their students have good academic or other positions. And what kind of activities could hosting then include? These activities are referred here are mainly carried out at the department that hosts you. So do you have any education for postdocs? Do you have regular meetings, seminars? And who are the senior members or colleagues in the research team who can support you? And does department have experience to have international staff, and what kind of services they have? And these, I think all of our departments have, and you should just write them here to convince the evaluators. Then we come to the part of the proposal where you need to justify that this funding really advances your career. And first there is 1.4, potential of researcher to reach and reinforce professional maturity and independence during the fellowship. And here it is very important to note that in this section, you need to justify this during the fellowship. The guiding questions to answer here are, what will you reach if you get this funding? What are your goals in respect to your career? How can host and supervisor at your project help you to reaching your goals? For example, if your goal is to get certain academic position or, for example, certain funding, it is really good idea to mention those here. But now, in this part, focus don't focus to the future, but focus what will happen during the fellowship, what kind of skills you will gain that you need for your future career. And then we move on to B2, impact. And notice that the section changes here, but we carry on with the same team. I quickly show you, and we will continue with 2.1, which is enhancing the future career prospects of the researcher after the fellowship. So we continue from the same question we handled in 1.4, your career, but now it is not during the fellowship, but after the fellowship. So the time span is different. On the general level, you can divide impact to three different levels. Impact to your research career, but then also there is organizational level. This is especially the knowledge transfer to host university. And then there is the system level impact. And of course, as this is a single fellowship, your fellowship, it can have limited impact on the system level, but you might identify something anyway. And when we move on to think about this future career aspect, what is importance of this funding to your career? What could you achieve with this funding you couldn't without? Of course, now remember that this is bottom-up funding, and this is really for you to realize your plans, the kind of research you have planned, but you maybe otherwise wouldn't have opportunity to do if you would just apply for let's say, post a position in a group, you should make what the group is otherwise doing, and you couldn't realize your plans. Think about where you can see yourself in 5 years. It's always a difficult question, but try to answer it. What do you need to reach these goals? And very important point, what kind of networks you can establish during this fellowship. Then we move to section 2.2, and this is dissemination and exploitation of the results. And the following section is quality and proposed methods to communicate the project activities. And for the dissemination, exploitation, and communication, I have prepared a separate video. So please go and see that one. Then we move on to third sector. And the first point of it is 3.1, coherence and effectiveness of the work plan. And this is fairly challenging part. Overall coherence of your proposal comes from that it is logical, and that, for example, you are referring to your objective by number, and the objectives are clearly linked to work packages, deliverables, and milestones, and so on. But I have prepared a separate video also on designing project management and describing risks in your proposal. So please go and see that one. Then we move on to 2.2, and that's appropriateness of management structures, processes, and risk management. And as I already told, I have separate video on this topic. Then we move to 3.3, which is appropriateness of institutional environment. I have added some model sentences to annotated templates, which I have prepared for you. So please go and see those. Perhaps if you're in natural sciences, this is fairly easy for you. You tell about the equipment, the infrastructure we have at University of Jyväskylä, or perhaps you explain how you have access for computing capacity or something like that. When you're more involved with humanistic studies or perhaps other such where there is not physical infrastructure, you can also describe people. So you can describe department, the research environment, and the people who are important for your research. Then we move to B2. So before this, we went through the B1, which is 10 pages. And besides the 10 pages of B1, we have the B2 section, and that includes CV, capacity of the participating organizations, ethical aspects, and letter of commitments for the global fellowship. These are not needed for the standard fellowship. And it must include the sections 4 to 7 described. There is no overall page limit, but your CV should be maximum 5 pages. That's very long CV. So now you can see that you have only 10 pages for the part 1, but then you have 5 pages for the CV. So if you run out of the space, it's quite good to consider if there are any aspects describing your previous career that you could move to CV and perhaps make a cross-reference there in your proposal. This is quite a nice way to save some space from the B1. And I'll go into the details. When you're writing your CV, Funder gives you certain minimum requirements what it should include. This is A, the name of the researcher, the professional experience, and education. And then they tell what it should also include, a list of things. And this list is just to support you when you are preparing your CV. So remember that these are the tasks you can include. You can also include short narrative on top of your CV if you like. That's quite a nice way to tell, for example, about your research interests, or otherwise tell the kind of things from your career that are not easily read from the list format. Then the CV part includes your publication. It is wise to explain something about your publications, how they are connected to this proposal. If you have many publications, perhaps you want to highlight, let's say, 5 publications and tell why these are important for your proposal. You can write, for example, short few sentences about several publications. These are important because of, or you can include something within each of the relevant publication. In this publication, I got the idea to study this and this matter, for example. Keep details, especially about your positions and past jobs. What you have been doing, what have been your responsibilities. Not just the name, the position, but a little bit more details. And the purpose of the CV is that the evaluator is reflecting your proposal against your CV and checking if you are credible to do what you are suggesting to do. So in proposal, you can claim something, but the evidence should be found in your CV. Then we move on to section 5, which is capacity of the participating organizations. And it can be only University of Jyväskylä. If you have partner organizations, then you also add the tables on the partner organizations. Most convenient way to get started with this section is to check the model templates I've prepared for you, and I've given their suggestions how to fill in this part. It is very short format, and you can describe, for example, University of Jyväskylä with 1 to 3 sentences. Then tell something about the team, department, or faculty where you're going to work. And here I have given some model text, but those are also included in the model templates. In the capacity sector, you should also tell something about role and commitment of the key persons. So name your supervisor and co-supervisor, and then what kind of facilities you have, what you can use. This is also in table format, so you should be fairly brief about it. There's a question about independent research premises. Yes, University of Jyväskylä has independent research premises. You can simply answer yes to that question. And then there's a question about previous involvement in research and training programs, and I will give in the template updated list on our projects. And also current involvement, the same thing. I will add in the template latest updated list. So please go there and don't refer to these numbers shown here. And then there is relevant publications and innovations or products of your supervisor. Then there is very important the ethical issues section. And now if you have ticked and the A forms any ethical questions, you need to describe each of those in detail from the perspective of EU legislation, national legislation, and other ethical requirements. My colleague Raya Oikari has prepared you separate section on the ethical issues, so please go there and see for it. And even if you don't tick any ethical questions, it is always good to state here that you follow the general research integrity principles. That means, for example, plagiarism and other good scientific practices. So don't leave this completely empty. And as I already mentioned, there is a separate video and section on the ethical issues. Then there is section 7, commitment letter. And if you're applying for standard fellowship, you don't need to fill in this part at all. When you're applying for global fellowship, commitment letter is mandatory. So please get one from the host organization in third country. Then short reminder about the A forms. The A forms include abstract. And please remember to take enough time to polish your abstract. Abstract is used to select reviewers for you. And also the reviewers can accept or decline to review your proposal based on abstract. So it is very important part of your proposal. Leave enough time for it. And also pay attention which panels and which keywords you are selecting, because these also affect to evaluation process. You can find list of the panels at the very end of the guide document. So it might be a little bit clumsy to use on online portal, but the same list is available in the guiding document. Thank you for now. See you again.